good to be here again and have another opportunity to speak unto you this morning. I'd like to speak to you about this overview of patience and endurance this morning. This is something that we have a lot of teachings and examples within the Word of God, and as such, again, it's not meant as an exhaustive study. However, it's important for us to understand what patience is and how to abound in it, just like many other qualities such as love and wisdom. Father expects us to be growing in patience as we become older. As referenced in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, even though our physical man is degrading day by day, our inner man should be renewed. A good definition for patience is the ability to bear long with someone or a situation where you might find yourself. This could be for positive or negative, such as, in the positive sense, a faithful Christian waiting on our Lord. In Psalm 37, verses 7 through 9, it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Typically, it is not in us to have patience at the start. It is something that must be taught to us, then built up over time through exercise. Lord willing, in a few moments, we'll take a look at what it takes for us to grow in patience. We can look to young ones to see that even though they might exhibit some qualities of patience every so often, it's not something that they have great skill with to start with. It's unfortunate that some people never truly build up any skill in this area, even into adulthood, and are quick to lash out when wrong or when things don't go their way. We can recognize that this is not something that the Lord would have us to do. In James, the first chapter, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." If we want to be pleasing to our Father, this is something that we need to continually work on as Christians. We are constantly beset by those worldly folks around us, and our adversary seeks to undo us as well. One of the points upcoming is the requirement for us to bridle our tongue, and we know from Scripture that this is one of the most difficult tasks to do effectively. Having and ultimately growing in patience is not something that can be taken lightly or to be done as an afterthought. In Colossians, the first chapter, it says, starting in verse 10, "That ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." There are a lot of ideas what it means to be patient, but as with all things, we need to be careful with opinions. We should look to the Word to determine what it says about patience rather than listen to the judgment and wisdom of men. We need to have patience when we are studying and learning. It takes time and diligence when we are studying God's Word to come to a full understanding of it. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We shouldn't get upset or discouraged if the understanding isn't coming as quickly as we would like either. It says in Proverbs 2, verse 6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." We know that we can't do anything of ourselves, and something else to remember is that if we are diligently studying in the right way, our Father will give us wisdom and understanding. In James, the first chapter, verses 5 through 7, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not man that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A key component of that asking is to have faith in that our Father will do what he has promised for us. To be patient means to bear with one another's infirmities, whether spiritual or physical. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, starting at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the bond in the bond of peace, of the Spirit in the bond of peace. To carry this out includes a couple of key elements: abounding in love towards one another, and having a humbleness of mind. It is difficult, if not impossible, to bear with one another if we do not have love in our hearts and a humble spirit. Psalm 103, verse 8. It's an example of how we should be conducting ourselves. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. In 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 11 through 13, 1 Thessalonians 3, 11 through 13. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love for one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Then we know John 14, verses 34 and 35, an often quoted verse. John 14, 34 and 35 says, A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. It takes patience on our part to be able to refrain from being weary in well-doing. Galatians 3, verses 10 through 11. Galatians 3, 10 through 11. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. It also might mean that we would need to sacrifice in some way to carry out that well-doing. We might have to forego some sleep, perhaps a meal, some of our money, and/or some of our time. Let's keep in mind that in all this we are not doing it in vain, but laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Consider the passage in Matthew 25, 34 through 46, where the King on Judgment Day will reward us for our well-doing unto others. It takes patience to bridle our tongues. It is one of the most difficult things we are told to bring under subjection. In James, the third chapter, 7 through 9, James, the third chapter, 7 through 9, For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things of the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. It certainly takes self-control and patience when an unkind word is spoken to us, to not turn and return in the same manner. James 3, 9 to 10, next verses. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. We should exercise patience to pause and think about how we can respond in every situation that we find ourselves. This is so that we don't make ourselves be hypocrites in words spoken too hastily. Proverbs 29 and verse 20. Proverbs 29 and verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his works? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Considering further verse 9 of James 3, we need to keep in mind that every person was made by God in his image and that he loves them dearly. If we have this mindset, we should be thinking of how we can either build that person up to be a stronger Christian, build that person up to be a stronger Christian, or in the case of the unbeliever, how we can say kind and meek words to help them realize that they need to turn from their evil and do the will of God. A very important verse in this vein of thought is 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 26. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. One of those things that we need to do continually is looking into that mirror of the law of liberty, examining ourselves. This requires patience to endure what it is telling us and how we need to change our hearts and thoughts. James 1, 22-25. James 1, 22-25 says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Invariably, if we are around Christians that love us and care for the well-being of our souls, we might be subject to receiving a rebuke from one of them as well. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 2. Galatians 6, 1 through 2. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." No one likes to be told that they did something wrong. However, if we realize that our brethren love us and want to help us come to that complete man of God, it becomes somewhat easier to hear those words of reproof and rebuke. Certainly, the most obvious application of patience is when we are doing righteousness before God and then being persecuted for it. These might be heavy trials on our faith, but we know that if we are obeying our Father, that these persecutions will come. We can read about Paul when he was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 12. 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 12. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions." Consider the warning in the parable of the sower that Jesus spoke. Without patience, we can become just like the stony ground and have no endurance against the persecutions of this world. In Matthew 13, 3-6, Matthew 3, 13, 3-6, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away." Dropping down to verse 20 and 21, the explanation: "But he that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, by and by he is offended. Ultimately, having patience comes down to what we have in our hearts. We are known by our fruits, and one of the fruits of righteousness is being patient. Matthew 7, verses 16 through 20. Matthew 7, 16 through 20. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Some examples of patience and endurance that we can look to. Job, one of the patriarchs, we can look to as a value example of someone that lost greatly in his life, yet was patient throughout his trial. Job, the first chapter, verses 1 through 3. It says there, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses. And a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. Recall that God lifted up Job as an example of someone that was righteous before God, and then how he allowed Satan to take all that he had. Later, God even allowed Satan to strike Job with a disease so that his body was failing him as well. In Job, the second chapter, verses 2 through 8, we can see this. Job 2, 2 through 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him, destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. In all this, Job was patient and did not lay blame to God, but endured his trial. The next verses, 9 through 10. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. We find recorded in James how we should pay attention to his example. In James, the fifth chapter, verses 10 and 11. James, the fifth chapter, 10 and 11. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. And the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Another great example of patience can be found in a man after God's own heart, David. Even though David was anointed as king by Samuel, and in God's eyes he was king, he still had to contend with Saul on the throne and be in service to him. 1 Samuel 18, chapter and verse 5. 1 Samuel 18, 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. We can recall that after Saul's jealousy and envy took over, that he sought day and night to kill David. This certainly was a trial on David, as he had to flee for his life. 1 Samuel 19, verses 8 through 12. 1 Samuel 19, verses 8 through 12. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines, and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. And David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers up to David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. In all this, even when presented with the opportunity to slay Saul, David would not move his hand against the king that God had set up for Israel. He preferred to allow God to dispose of him in his ways. 1 Samuel 24, verses 1 through 7. 1 Samuel 24, 1 through 7. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. He came to the sheep coats, by the way. There was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. It came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. What better example, though, could we have than our perfect example, Jesus? We can turn to many scriptures to see this, but in summary, what we can consider is that he did not his own will, but his Father, even when it meant to sacrifice food, sleep, food, and ultimately his life on the cross. Mark 1, 10 through 13. Mark 1, 10 through 13. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and angels ministered unto him. We can imagine if someone had been fasting for such a long time and tempted of as adversary, what it might feel like. Would we have the patience under those conditions to endure those trials like our Lord? John 18, 22 and 23. John 18, 22 and 23. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Notice that Jesus did not return evil for evil, physically or with his lips. And he willingly went to the cross, enduring all the shame and agony because he loved his Father and us. We had read this morning, if you were present for the Bible class, Hebrews 12, 1-3. Hebrews 12, 1-3. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. We need to be growing in patience each and every day. We should be able to look back yesterday, last month, and last year and find that we are increasing in this quality. Our Father doesn't wish us to be stagnant as his servant. We can be assured that those righteous and good things that we ask of our Father in prayer by faith, he will provide us. One of those things we should be praying for is patience. In John 15, verse 7 through 8, John 15, 7 through 8, If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. The key point from this verse that we can draw is that our Father will provide patience to us so that we can bear up under our burdens, undergo trials, and be righteous so that he will be glorified. Mentioned a little while ago, we know that trials and persecutions will come upon us if we are doing rightly before God. These are meant to help us grow in many ways, and chiefly our patience in being able to endure them. In Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 3, Romans 5, 1 through 3, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. There are many benefits that we can reap by having patience and abounding in long-suffering towards all mankind. A little bit earlier, we spoke about a changed heart. When we have patience, the words that come out of our mouth and the actions that we take will reflect that heart. One that is not filled with evil, but by the goodness of our Father. Take, for example, when a brother or sister has sinned against us. The world would say to take revenge and not be gracious, but a changed heart is patient, merciful, and forgiving. Colossians 3, verse 13. Colossians 3, 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. In Ephesians 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4, verse 32. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We should consider the example again of our Lord and the great tribulations that he underwent, and many people were sinning against him, smiting him, cursing at him, yet he did not turn, and he turned the other cheek towards them and did not take his revenge upon them. If God blesses us with children, it will become quite clear in short order that without patience, we are going to have a very challenging time. Even so, with good patience, parenthood certainly is a unique test that was called. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. We have to consider that even though we might like to think of children as ours, that they really belong to God. We are given the responsibility to train them up to be good Christians and servants of the Most High. This is not an easy task, for we know that in Proverbs 22 and verse 15, that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from it. Children need to be taught what it means to obey and why, how to make wise decisions and to utilize their time for the will of our Father. This requires much patience and long-suffering on our parts. It will be much better received when we teach and reprove a child with gentle words than sharpness of tongue. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And then Proverbs 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. As parents, we need to be cognizant that our children are watching and listening to our words and actions. So much of what they learn is by seeing and hearing what we do. What better way to show them how to be patient than through our conduct with all men? Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Having patience and endurance through trials on our faith is what our Father wishes us to do to be pleasing unto Him. Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. Matthew 5, 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and they persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Furthermore, our Father wants us to be perfect, complete man, and growing in patience is part of that straight and that narrow path to get there. James 1, 2-4. James 1, 2-4. My brethren, count all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. A strong consolation and guard against becoming discouraged is that we know that our God will not allow our adversary to tempt us above that which we are able to bear. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. When we grow in patience, it opens up opportunities for us in regards to helping those around us. We know that if we are diligent followers of Christ and students of the Word, that we will gain more and more knowledge and wisdom about how to be pleasing to our Father. We should use this knowledge, wisdom, and patience and love to be teaching those unbelievers around us and Christians less experienced than us. Titus 1, 2, verses 1 through 8. Titus 2, verses 1 through 8. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they should be in behavior as become of holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Something that we should keep in mind is that growing patient is training us for service in the next life. If we will submit to God's will, he will conform us to be that perfect man, fit for service with him in heaven. Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Then in Romans 3, verses 1 and 2, Romans 3, verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. In Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5, Revelation 22, 1 through 5, John's account of what he was shown here. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every morning. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they shall need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. In conclusion, we should refer back to Colossians 3, 12 and 14. Colossians 3, 12 and 14. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. We want to please our Father in everything that we do, and having patience and bearing fruit to that end shows that we have our heart being conformed to his. We want to offer the Lord's invitation to any of those here that are subject to it. If you need the prayers of your brethren because you haven't been exhibiting patience as you should, or for any other reason, please let us help and pray for you. It's important to also note that you can't finish the race if you haven't even started. If you'd like to begin life anew and be added to his church, we can assist you with that as well. Stand and sing.